Today's 4-3 ruling by the California Supreme Court is clear and it is historic. Gays and lesbians have a constitutional right to marry in California.
With a warning from the White House to Moscow about the conflict in Georgia. Russian warplanes launched new attacks in the country today despite offers of a ceasefire.
I am dying to show you how innocent I am.
Illinois Democratic Governor Raj Blagojevich, a two-term so-called reform candidate, was arrested Tuesday, December 9th.
With quick hit at 2:28 Monday afternoon, and the largest city near the epicenter is Chengdu, from which Neil just reported. The city's population is 10 million, larger than New York.
Times of India reports at least 80 people have been killed in a series of terror attacks in Mumbai today. British witnesses tell Indian TV that attackers wanted anyone with British or American passports.
After a rough week on Capitol Hill, the House finally passed the $700 billion bailout bill, the new version.
The cost of gas remains at a record high. AAA reports the national average for a gallon of regular unleaded just a fraction of a penny below $4.11.
We are talking about financial Armageddon.
What's unfolded in Manhattan over the last few days is a full-blown financial crisis.
A financial meltdown. 2008 saw the demise of Wall Street giants, huge stock market losses, plunging home prices, and a rapid rise in foreclosures.
In Michigan, 60-mile-an-hour winds knocking down trees and power lines this morning. We are leaving nearly 200,000 homes and businesses without any power.
Now, there is a flood watch continuing throughout the Midwest. Heavy
4 days of the Israeli assault on Gaza. Airstrikes are targeting Hamas government buildings in Gaza City now. But even though Israel says it's aiming only at government and military operations, Palestinian civilian death counts stand at more than 100. I'm McGregor.
I want to turn now back to the O.J. Simpson guilty verdict delivered late last night in Las Vegas courtroom at ABC.
John McCain stole the spotlight, ended speculation over his choice for running mate, announcing Sarah Palin, governor from Alaska, as his pick for vice president. And ABC's David Wright.
60 women and 159 children all bussed out of the polygamous compound. Everyone admits to being related to one another.
In the Black Friday frenzy, thousands stormed this New York Walmart store desperate for deals. But in the shopping stampede, employee Jamite Damore was trampled to death.
That's the reaction out in Times Square. ABC News ready to project Barack Obama will be the next president of the United States.
Crazy year. It was a crazy year all over the world, all around the world, not just here in the United States, not just for you and me. Everybody experienced some things in 2008 that they've never had to experience before. And it's interesting when you look at it. And what the media will want to do, and what the enemy will want to do, and what your negative friends will want to do is keep you focused on the negative. And if they can keep you focused on the negative, then you're not going to have a good year in 2009 because you're going to be expecting it to be bad, and you're going to be speaking it to be bad. You're going to be talking about it being bad, and it's going to be bad. So what we want to do is try to get our hopes up. I want you to go out of here today with your hopes up. I want to remind you of what happened last year just right here in this ministry. Every week we came here, and right before your eyes and in your own hearing, you were challenged with the Word of God. Many of you, all during the year, would raise your hands as the Lord would speak to you and bring you into some kind of conviction or whatever. Many hands went up just to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Not every week, but nearly every week, right here, people were being saved. Is that exciting? Is that good? Yeah, that's good. Every week we were coming down here on these altars, just like today. These altars filled up. Hands were being laid on people, and prayers were being administered to people, and people were being set free and delivered and receiving the Spirit of God, and their families were being set free, and people were just getting all kinds of blessings and healings and things right down here in front of your very eyes every single week. How wonderful, how awesome is that? How many baptisms did we have during the year? There were lots of baptisms, people being raised into a newness of life. There was acceleration in our children's ministries and in our students' ministries. It was accelerated. And these things all didn't stay right here. They left here and went into the home, into the life groups, and the ministries continue. Listen, this was probably one of our best years ever. People were touched and ministered to in a way that they've never been touched and ministered to before. Listen, we had a great year. We had a successful year. We had an awesome year. But the enemy doesn't want you to focus on that. The news media doesn't want you to focus on the good things that happened. They want you to see all the negative stuff. And if you allow that to happen to you and get around your negative friends and listen to negative talk, then you're going to be expecting a negative year in 2009. You're going to be speaking it into existence. You're going to be claiming it. You're going to be talking about it. And that's what you're going to have. So what we want to do is get our hopes up. Judy and I have learned over the years that when down times come, when stormy times come in life, it's not a time to get down. It's not a time to lose hope. It's a time to get our hopes up. It's a time to remember the promises of God. And that's no matter in what area of life that we're going through. If it's a personal area, then it's time to remember that God got us through worse than this. And we're still standing. And we're going to be blessed in the other at the other end of it again. God's going to minister to us no matter what we're going through, whether it was our personal life, or our finances, or our children, or our health issues, or things going on here at church. God will take us and bless us. And it's time to remember the promises of God and get ourselves up. Get ourselves into a place that we're thinking positive, good things about what's going on and not the negative. Not the negative things. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3 says this. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Now, what are believers supposed to do when bad times come? Rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that sufferings improve us, make us better. We know that sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character what? Hope. If you get your hopes up, it means something's happening good in your life. It means that you're maturing. It means that you're understanding life in a better way. Hope. And here it says, and hope does not what? Hope does not what? Disappoint. I want you to say that back to me. Hope does not disappoint us. Say that. Hope does not disappoint us. One more time. Hope does not disappoint us. It doesn't. Why? Because the hope that God gives us and the hope of God is attached to God's love and God's blessings. Let me show you. It says here, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts. Notice the attachment of hope and love. Faith, hope, and love. Hope and love. God's poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. And you've probably experienced this before as well as I. But I remember one time talking to somebody. It was a very negative situation that was going on that we were discussing. And I was very positive about it. And the person replied to me and says, well, don't get your hopes up. Have you ever heard that? Huh? Well, is that right? No, get your hopes up. Especially when things are bad. Especially when things are going wrong. That's time for us to really get our hopes up. I want to tell you, listen, if you're going to get all that God's got for you in 2009, you can't be negative. You got to be hopeful. You got to get your hope up. You got to let the love of God come into your heart so that you can experience the good things that God has for you. Psalms 43:5. See, what we got to do is when disturbing things are happening, we got to get our hope back in God. Psalms 43:5 says this, why are you downcast, O my soul? Now, who's David talking to? Tell me. Who's he talking to? Do you ever talk to yourself? Atrocious or no atrocious? I don't know. I am horrible. I mean, I do this all the time. Notorious. I do this constantly. I talk to myself. And David's talking to himself. He says, why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Get up. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. See, what the enemy wants to do is get your praise. If he can get your praise, he's got your hope. And if he gets your hope, he's got your love. And so what God wants to do is get our hopes up. Don't be downcast in 2009. You got to be like David. Get your hope up. Get your hope in God. See, what you're saying when you get your hope up and you get your hope in God, here's what you're saying is that God is still in control. The government's not in control. Right. Your negative friends are not in control. Right? The devil's not in control. God is in control. And he took his shot at you, and it wasn't enough. You're still standing. I'm still standing. And if we've learned anything this past year, is that we're here for a reason and for a purpose. And God's got something for us to do. And again, if you're going to get all that you got for you, all that the Lord has for you in 2009, you got to get your hope up. You got to see it good. You got to see good things coming. And I want to show you what God has planned for all of us in 2009. Okay? Let me show you this. This is Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 7. It says this. Because you got a double dose of trouble and more than your share of contempt. Hello. Your inheritance in the land will be double for your trouble. Because you had a bad year, I'm going to give you a doubly good year next year if you can keep your hope up. Be doubled, and your joy go on forever. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? I mean, this is amazing promise. Double for your trouble. And what Isaiah is talking to here are some people that had a very bad year. I mean, they lost their homes. They lost their wealth. They lost their families. They lost their nation. And we thought we had a bad year. They were taken into Babylonian captivity. And what God is saying to them, and he's promising them, here's what I'm going to do for you. Because you had that much trouble, I'm going to give you double an inheritance for it. I promise you that. Double for your trouble. And God wants to do that for all of us. And it's amazing to me that in that passage, in that scripture, the interesting thought here is that the more trouble you had, the more blessing you get. It always works that way. Abraham, you remember Abraham? Abraham had a bad year. It was a famine. He come out of his home. He come out of his out of his normal dwelling place, and he's living out there in the wilderness. And there's a famine. It's a bad year. So he goes down to Egypt, and he has some trouble down there. But he comes out of Egypt how? Doubled for his trouble. And every time you look at somebody in the scriptures and you see them having some trouble, and if they keep their faith in God, if they keep strong in the Lord, and if they keep their hope up, they come out with that thing double. Jacob was working for his uncle Laban, and Laban was a trickster and a swindler, and he cheated Jacob lots and lots. And the last year that Jacob was with him was the worst year that Laban pulled on him, changing his salaries and doing all kinds of nifty stuff. And so Jacob had a bad year. But Jacob come out doubled for his trouble. This is a promise that God has for us. No matter who you look at in the scriptures. How about Joseph? Joseph had a bad year. He went to prison. That's pretty bad. But he comes out how? As the prime minister, as the vice president of Egypt. Doubled for his trouble. And I don't care who you look at in the scriptures. It works this way. How about Jesus? Did Jesus have a bad year? Crucified. Pretty bad. But the next year, he's sitting at the right hand of God Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come on. Where do you want to be sitting next year? Come on. See, it's double for your trouble. And if you keep your hopes up, you anticipate God doing something wonderful in your life and blessing you and ministering to you and bringing you his blessings upon you, you're going to have a good year. But you can't get negative. You've got to get positive. You've got to stay positive. This is what God wants to do for every single one of us. Now, and it doesn't matter if 2000 was dark. If you do it right, 2009 will be bright. It doesn't matter if you feel like you missed your chance in 2008, because it's never too late with God. And some of you didn't have a bad year. I got an email from somebody this past week, and they had one of the best years they've ever had in 2008. But let me tell you, even if you had a great year in 2008, your best is still yet to come. God's got some great things planned for all of us. So what about 2009? I'm telling you to get your hopes up. I've gotten my hopes up. I think God's going to do some amazing thing. I want to tell us all, we're not going under. None of us are. We're going over. None of us are victims because we're all victors. None of us are conquered because we're all more than conquerors. We're too blessed to be stressed. We've got it going on. And what we've got to do is see that God wants to bless us. And God's got some wonderful things ahead for each one of us. But you've got to get your hopes up. You've got to put your hope in God. You've got to stay positive, and you can't get negative. And you've got to realize that God's going to surprise you. God's going to surprise some of you because you're going to keep your hopes up. You're going to anticipate God. God's going to surprise you this year with some wonderful, wonderful things that are just going to overtake you. Some wonderful blessings. Let me show you this promise. It's in Deuteronomy 28:2. And it says this, "And all these blessings shall come upon thee." And do what? And overtake thee. What does that mean? It means they're going to surprise you. You're not looking for it. You're just experiencing life. And then, whoo, here comes a blessing and grabs you. Overtake you. Overtake you. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, this is the time where they're shouting out these blessings and cursings. And the shout and the blessings are this. You're the head and not the tail. You're the top and not the bottom. You're the first and not the last. You're blessed going in and you're blessed coming out. Your children are blessed. Your homes are blessed. Your finances are blessed. Your health is blessed. Everything about you, God says, it'll be blessed. This is what this is talking about. And these are the things that will overcome you, that will overtake you, what will surprise you. God's got a surprise for you. And some of you just want to hold on. Some of you just thinking, man, I just hope I make it through. I just hope I make it. No, God doesn't want you to just make it. He's got a surprise for you. He wants you to do it abundantly. That's why Jesus came. Some of you are just saying, man, I hope my marriage makes it another year. Well, God wants you to do more than another year. He wants to surprise you with a blessed, abundant, fulfilled marriage. That's what God has for you. Some of us just want to get a healing. Now, God wants you healed, but He wants to surprise you with something more than healing. He wants you to get your energy back. He wants you to get your strength back. He wants you to get your joy and your smile back. God wants to bless you so that you can get it all back. That's what God has for us. He wants to surprise us. Some of you just say, I hope I keep my job. Well, God wants to surprise you with something. Maybe He might want to surprise you with your own business. He might want you to be a millionaire, but you got to hope. You got to want it. You got to see it. You can't get negative on God. Some of you say, I just hope I get my bills paid. He wants you to do more than that. He wants you to have an overflow. He wants you out of debt. God doesn't want you in bondage. He wants to set you free. He wants to surprise you. He wants to get you out of debt so that you can have an overflow, that you can bless the kingdom more, so that you can bless people more. That's what God has for you. He has surprises for all of us. But we got to get our hope up. We got to put our hope in God. We can't concentrate on the negative. We got to think about the positive. We got to expect God's blessings to overtake us. We got to get up in the mornings, and rather than thinking about the bad things that are going on in our lives and the bad things that are going on all around us, we got to start getting up in the mornings and saying, Lord, how are you going to surprise me today? What have you got coming that's going to catch up with me today? How about surprising me today with some special opportunities? Some opportunities that I've never had before. How about surprising me, Lord, with some divine appointments? Give me some people across my path that can pull some strings that can get me to where I really want to go and need to go in life. How about, Lord, surprising me today with some open doors? How about, Lord, surprising me? What if we got up and expecting life to be good, rather than just getting through life? What if we got up in the mornings and expected everything to be good? How many of you parents enjoy surprising your children with gifts and good things? How many? Do you? Well, it gets better when you're a grandparent. It does. You don't just get to do it for your kids. You get to do it for your grandkids. And you appreciate it even more. My third grandchild, like Lance, he wanted a Go Diego train set for Christmas. That's what he wanted. That's all he wanted. That's all he asked for. He didn't ask for anything else. That's all he wanted. Go Diego train set. And so we were out visiting with him at Thanksgiving. And I always take my boys to someplace, usually Walmart, to go shopping. And they can get anything they want. And so we go into Walmart, and Michael Lance is wanting this Go Diego train set. And we can't get it for him because his grandmother wants to give it to him for Christmas. And she wants all my children and all of our grandchildren to get whatever they want. And so she wants to give him that for Christmas. So we can't get it for him then. But that's all he wants. He wouldn't want anything else. So we finally have Christmas, and so we're sitting there, and we're all watching Michael Lance open up his Go Diego train set. He rips the paper apart, and his little eyes, young eyes, just open up and sparkle, and he yells out, "Go Diego train set!" He's surprised. He's excited. And later on that afternoon, after we put it together and played with it and everything, I asked him, I said, "Michael Lance, what was your favorite present? What was your favorite thing you got for Christmas?" "It's a Go Diego train set." You know, and I was thinking about that. In our lives, some of the best surprises, some of the best things, best memories, best things we ever have in life are surprises that Father God just allowed to overcome us and just bless us with and surprise us with. See, that's what God wants to do. And the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. It says, "If you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children," and you do. You know how to bless them. You know what they want. Then Jesus says, "How much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who what?" To those who what? Yeah, this is important. Ask. What are you asking for in 2009? Can God get you your train set? Have you asked Him? What are you expecting? Are you expecting good or bad? God wants to bless you with good things. He knows exactly how to do it. God wants to bless you with some wonderful things, but you got to ask. You got to expect it. You got to put your hope in it. "Well, Delbert, I don't know. I just tell you, I don't think there's any way God can get me what I've got to have." You're so wrong. You know, say we wanted to go to San Diego, California. How many ways are there to go to San Diego, California? Now, I might not know any of them, but how many ways are there? 1,000? There's 1,000 ways God can find to get you what you want. And you might not know the way, but God knows the way. And God will bring it to you. God will get it to you. But you got to hope in Him. You got to ask for it. You got to put your hope. You got to stay positive. You can't get negative. God wants to do it. Over 20 years ago, Judy and I needed a house. There's a difference if you need a house and want a house. We needed a house. We were having trouble where we lived. The church was providing us a place, and the people that owned the house didn't like me very much, and so we were having some trouble, and so we needed a house, and so we hooked up with a realtor, and we went all over Walker County. I'll never forget that day. We drove and drove and went in and walked, and we looked at every house in Walker County, I think. And didn't find anything that we wanted to live in. And so finally, that afternoon, we drove up into this yard. And it was a very nice house. It looked nice. Big incline driveway, paved drive, house set up on a hill, a rise, two-story, double carport. Nice yards. We went in. We liked it. Fireplace, nice, very nice. So we wanted it. It seemed perfect. And so we made an offer for the house. But other people liked the house too. And they made an offer. And we weren't offering near what they were asking. But we made an offer, and somebody else made an offer that was better than our offer. And so we lost that house. But we didn't get depressed, and we didn't get down. We didn't lose our hope. God, we just waited for God. What was He going to do? You know, He knew what we wanted. We asked. We kept our hope up. We continued to minister to people and do what we were called to do. In fact, got a trip up. And a bunch of us at that time, we went down to Florida to a conference. A bunch of us did. And while we were there, a prophetic word came to Judy and I. And the word was that we're going to be moving. He surprised us. That was a surprise. You're going to be moving. Well, I asked, well, what do you mean? What moving what? I knew we needed to move from the house, but that, you know, I didn't know what he was, what the word of the Lord was to us. But anyway, we were surprised. We come back the next day. Next day, we're called and we're offered that house that we wanted. Not only could we now get that house, but he was going to take our original offer. See, he surprised us, but then the blessing of God caught up with us and just out of nowhere took us. It didn't seem like there was any way we were going to get that house. But God can do it. God can find a way. He knows exactly how to bless you. And He wants to bless you. And we kept our hopes up. We asked. We continued to do what we were supposed to be doing. And we got double the house for the trouble. And God will do that for you. He wants to give you double. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have a great life in 2009. Don't let your soul become downcast. Instead, remember the good things that God's done for you in the past and expect those good things this year. Expect good things to happen. Get double for your trouble. Get your hopes up in 2009. Wake up expecting and asking and letting God bless you. Now, I want to give you a caution. See, there's a caution that will keep you from experiencing what God has for you in 2009. There's a main primary thing, and that's getting around negative people. If you get around negative people, negative, sour, faithless kind of people, without any hope, that looks at the negative stuff, if you get around them, you'll find yourself getting negative. You'll find yourself thinking negative thoughts. You'll find yourself having and expecting negative things to happen. They'll convince you that the world's coming to an end. They'll convince you that you're going to have a bad year. That's not God. And if you get around that, you're going to start confessing negative things, and you create things with your words. You're going to be anticipating negative things happening, and that's not God's will for you in 2009. He's got some good things for you. You've got to get around positive people, positive, faith-filled people that have their hope in God, that are looking for good things to happen. What they'll do is they'll stir you up. They'll get you talking positive things. They'll get you confessing good things. You'll start seeing good things happening in their lives, and you'll start encouraging yourself, and you'll start doing what David did. Why are you downcast, soul? Come on, let's get up. We can have this too. How many of you in 2009 would like to have twice the peace you had in 2008? All right. How about this? How about twice the joy? Yeah. Right? How about twice the prayers answered in 2009 that you had answered in 2008? All right? Yeah. Well, here's how you do it. Stay away from negative people. What part does the church play in all this? How does the church wrap up into your 2009? What can you expect from the church? And why do you need the church in 2009? Let me try to work this in because we are doing the series on I Love My Church. Let me read this to you. It's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse 10. It says here, and Ephesians 3 is a great chapter just about the church. And it says, His intent was that when? That now, through the what? Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. Now, I want to stop here, because what he's about to say is he's going to make made known the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and rulers and heavenly things and stuff like that. But I got to tell you that the church is not this structure. You are LifeGate, right? You're the church. And so what God's got to do is get the wisdom to you so that through you, you can announce to the principalities and the powers and the heavenly rulers that you ain't buying into their stuff. That you're not letting them touch your finances or your health or your children or your job. You're not buying into it. And so what God does is He brings His wisdom, manifold wisdom, many ways of wisdom, thousands of ways of wisdom, through us. Let me read it now. Okay. That through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in Him and through faith in Him. Now, connect this. because we changed slides. In faith in Him, we may approach God. It's what I want you to connect here is that through the church, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. You have got to have the church if you're going to get all that 2009 holds for you. Because it's through the church, not necessarily LifeGate Church, but through a corporate body of believers that come together and seek God and will encourage you and teach you the wisdom of God so that you can defend yourself, so that you can defend your family, so that you can defend your children, your wealth, your health. The wisdom of God comes to the church. And there's a power in the church that you cannot get anywhere else. I don't care what you do or where you try. There's a power that's in the church that's no place else. Let me read it to you and then I'll talk about it. It's in Ephesians 3:20, same chapter, a little bit further down. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do what? Immeasurably more." Would you say that with me? Immeasurably more? Immeasurably more. How much can He do? Immeasurably more than you, than all we ask or imagine. How much can you ask or imagine for 2009? Huh? Well, let me tell you a secret. God wants to do immeasurably more. You got to get your hope up. You got to stay faithful. You got to walk in His concepts and precepts. If you will, He'll give you double portion. He'll sneak up behind you with blessings. More than you can ask or imagine, according to His what? According to His what? Power. Now watch where this power is located. According to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory where? In the church. There's a power in church. It's not found anyplace else. There's a power in church. And in Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So what can you ask or imagine for yourself in 2009? Or for your family? Or for your health? What can you ask or imagine? Well, God can do more. He wants to do these things for you. He wants these things to catch up with you. He wants to give you some miraculous opportunities. He wants to open some doors for you. He wants to give you some divine appointments. He wants some people to pull some strings for you this year that can get you to where you want to go. God's got a plan for you. And the power is in the church. You know, every week I come here, and this is the highlight of my week. This moment, this right here. You guys here, we all here together. This is I live for this thing. You know, you see the sports thing on television. I live for this. And every week we come together. And I receive energy. I receive peace. I don't care what I'm going through. When I get here on Sundays, that's touched and that's ministered to. And I go out of here encouraged. I go out of here with peace I didn't come in with. I go out of here with strength I didn't come in with. There's a power here. And Jesus even said this, did He not? That when you guys get together and pray, it's more powerful than when you pray alone. If two of you get together, but man, think about this. When we come together and we agree and pray, how much power can we get up and what can we do? I want you to know the church is vital in 2009 for you to get all that God's got for you. I've got my hopes up. The leadership here, we've got our hopes up. We want twice the ministry that happened last year. Of everything that happened, how many believe we can have twice? Of all the hands that went up, how many believe we can have twice as many hands? As many baptisms as we have, how many believe we can have twice that many baptisms? I do. How many believe that we can double the numbers of life groups that we have this year? Yeah! We can do it. But we've got to get our hopes up. And we're hopeful. We're ready for double for our trouble. And you are too. And it's time. It's time. It's time that we get our hope in God and that we get up. We get expecting these things. Expect a good year this year. Don't expect a bad year. I want to say this to you. Keep an eye in your rearview mirror this year. Because I got a feeling God's going to be coming up pretty fast behind you. And He's going to overtake you. with some great blessings. Is it okay if I just declare all of this over all of us? Father, I do. I declare this in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that each of us get our hopes up for 2009. We expect great things to happen in 2009. Father, we receive it right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We expect double inheritance for the trouble that we've gone through, for the things that we've experienced, Father God. We expect double. We want you to give us some secrets, some wonderful secret surprises that you've got planned for us. We receive those things right now. There's going to be open doors for each of us. There's going to be divine appointments for each of us. There's going to be wonderful opportunities for each of us. Each of us, Lord, are going to be receiving from you in this year great new things. We're going to have a great year. Though the rest of the world can have a bad year, Lord, we're setting our hope in you, and we're decreeing right now, and we're declaring right now that we're going to have good things. Even stumbling blocks are going to become stepping stones for those who love him. And Father, we receive that right now in the name of Jesus. If you receive that and want that, will you shout like you've never shouted and give him a holler? Yes! Yes. Dare we get optimistic? Dare we get our hopes up? Dare we expect God to surprise us? I do. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go out of here today encouraged and expecting some wonderful things to happen for us. You want to do this. You're such a good Father. If we know how to give good gifts, how much more do you want to give good gifts? Father, we expect this year for good things to happen. We want to talk to ourselves when we get down and challenge ourselves to get up and hope in you. We expect double for our troubles. We expect the blessings of God to overtake us. We expect this to be a wonderful year for us, our family, and not just to get by, but to have an abundant life. We receive that from you now. I want your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Now, some of you aren't where you need to be with God. You've gotten distant. You're not where you need to be. And this can't happen for you this year. It's going to be a bad year for you again unless you get your hope in God. Now, I want to help you. I want to get you started. I want to pray with you. I want you, right where you're sitting, to make a dedication to the Lord and say, Lord, I want a good year. I want a good life. And I've got to have you. I've got to have church. I've got to have these things to have the life that you want me to have. So if that's you, would you raise your hand right where you're sitting, and let me bless you. I see a hand back here. Any others? I see hands everywhere. Oh, my gosh, you can't count them all. That's great. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Lord, we do right now. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, I commit myself to you as a way of...